उत्क्रामति ईश्वरः गृहीत्वा एतानि संयाति वायुः गन्धान् इव आशयात् शरीरं यदवाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामति ईश्वरः गृहीत्वा एतानि संयाति वायुर्गन्धानिवाशयात् शरीरं यदवाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतीश्वरः गृहीत्वा एतानि संयाति वायुर्गन्धानिवाशयात्. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Purport. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a car, that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness in godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigration from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. Shariram yadavapnoti yad chapyut kramatishvaraha grihit vaitani sangyati vayogandhan nivashayat. In this verse, Lord Krishna gives an analogy to explain the process of how one goes from one body to another. In this way, he makes the matter clear. And he'll give more, he's already given much explanation about this, and he'll give more explanation in the next two verses. One is carried by the subtle body. A subtle body is that of mind, intelligence, and false ego. It is the reservoir of unlimited material desires. Of course, we don't experience them all at the same time, but there is a stock of material desires, and one by one, or sometimes more than one at a time, they come up, they manifest. And that carries us from body to body. This, if at the time of death, we have developed a consciousness like that of a dog, we'll get the body of a dog. And if we have developed the consciousness of a god, we'll get the body of a god. And in this way we go from body to body to body. It's all actually quite easy to understand. Many people, they don't understand this. Many people find it very difficult to accept that we go from body to body to body. One reason for that is that they lack faith in the words of Krishna, of Bhagavad Gita. And another reason is because they're so attached to their presently bodily existence, which they consider to be themselves. But this attachment to bodily existence causes us to take one body after another, after another, after another. And therefore Krishna is giving the knowledge here by which we can get free from this cycle of birth and death, which any intelligent person should attempt to do. Otherwise, we're being carried from body to body to body within this universe, maybe within other universes. Just as the air blows and takes the scent from one place to another, it's a subtle process. The smell of the rose, we perceive it even if we're not right next to the rose, maybe at some distance, because the air has carried it. So in the same way, we're carried from one body to another, the example is given. So this is very basic knowledge, the most basic knowledge of spiritual life, and the topmost knowledge is to love Krishna, or that we should love Krishna. So here in Bhagavad Gita, the essence of spiritual knowledge is being given, which people don't know. They're suffering so much, but they don't even know they're suffering. They don't have a concept of suffering, just like an animal might be suffering, but he can't philosophically think about whether I'm suffering or not suffering. He's suffering. But he's so dull in that tamaguna body of an animal body. He's so dull, he's not even aware that he's suffering, nor does he have any way to come out of that suffering, but a human being does. Human being has the opportunity to come out of that suffering. Not only to come out of that suffering, but to attain the highest bliss eternally with Krishna in the spiritual world. So these books are giving an indication of this. So I want to speak now a little bit about the distribution of these books. They're so packed with spiritual knowledge. Even Srila Prabhupada said that this book, this Bhagavad Gita, is sufficient knowledge to go back to Godhead. This Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ekam Shastram Deviki Putra Gitam. In the Gita Mahatmya, it's also stated that there's only one book needed, this Bhagavad Gita. It's enough because it gives all the basics. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is much promoted by the Vaishnavas, especially Gauriya Vaishnavas. It's the same topic, there's no difference. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge is presented in more detail, but the basics are given here in Bhagavad Gita, that we're suffering in this material world, birth after birth. We should try to come out of that by fully surrendering to Krishna and go to Krishna in the spiritual world. So many more details are given in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it seems here at ISKCON Vellore there's a Srimad Bhagavatam distribution mood picking up more and more. So many Bhagavad Gitas have been distributed here. And although there's always scope for distributing more, there's also scope for distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. So some devotees have been keeping track of people. Kaliamurti Prabhu yesterday described to me how he's been preaching. People he gives Bhagavad Gita to, he keeps their contact. After some time, he goes back and gives them Srimad Bhagavatam. And definitely if people read this Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as it is, unless they're really in a lot of Maya, then they're going to want to take up the process, because Srila Prabhupada's books, they're not presented just like some academic book. Of course, there's knowledge here of reincarnation. That's the beginning knowledge. Even that knowledge is much higher than most people understand or even think about. But it's not just presented. It's presented with urgency. That is the language of the Upanishads, the urgency. Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varang, Nibodhata, Kshurasya, Dhara, Nishita, Duratyaya, Durgang Patas Tat Kavayo Vedanti. So the Upanishads state that, get up, wake up, become aware that there is a great opportunity to be had in this human form of life. No. They don't think that I've got this human form of life after many, many births. I can utilize it to get free from repeated birth. No, they don't even know. They have no idea. So the Upanishads, they entreat us. Get up, wake up, attain the boon which is available in the human form of life. But also be careful. It's just like shaving. You can cut yourself, you can clean off very nicely the hairs from the face, from the head, or elsewhere. But it also can be very dangerous because the blade of a razor can be very sharp and we can do harm also. So this is the language of the Upanishads, and Srila Prabhupada, he really brings that mood of urgency into his books, that everyone should wake up, utilize their human form of life, surrender, take the opportunity that is available in this Kali Yuga, not in every Kali Yuga. Only one out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, only in one of 1,000 Kali Yugas does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come and give this process of chanting the holy names. This distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books will bring about a revolution in the misguided lives of a sinful populace. That is the words, these are the words of Srila Prabhupada in his translation of of a verse which he quotes right in the preface of his Bhagavatam edition. Tadvag visargo janatag haviplavo yasmin prati shlokam abadavatyavi namanyadantasya yashonkitani yajtrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. This is the verse in Srila Prabhupada. His translation, the word viplava is there, which means revolution. So Srila Prabhupada translates this that on the other hand, there is another creation. That means comparing it with the previous verse, in which previous verse has been described. Nara describes to Vyasadeva via Samtirtha, which means a pilgrimage place for crows. And that refers to literature which does not describe the glories of Krishna, even the Vedic literature. Of course, the Vedic literature is all meant for that. Vede Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adav Antya Chamadhya Cha Hari Sarvatra Gyate. In all the Vedic literature, beginning, middle and end, only Hari is sung about. But in many cases it's indirect and people don't get it. They don't get the point. So Srimad Bhagavatam directly describes Krishna, and it is described by Narad that these narrations of the topics of Krishna, they are meant to bring about a revolution in the sinful life of a misguided population, and that persons who are saintly, inclined to be saintly, they will hear the message of Bhagavatam. They will accept it. They'll accept it fully into their heart of hearts. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for changing people's lives, and actually it does so. If we read these books very carefully, we have to change our lives. We can't continue being materially attached, or at least we'll understand the need to become free from material attachment, free from all material attachments, and completely surrender unto Krishna. So Prabhupada's books, they make it clear. Even the most cursory reading will reveal that. And for those few people who are great scholars of Shastra, they will also be very satisfied with Srila Prabhupada's translations, because although he gives everything very simply so that everyone can understand it, all the purports, all the deep confidential of the purports of the Vedas are given herein. So this book can be distributed to anyone. Anyone who can read can avail of these books. Even children. They're written so simply that even children can avail. Of course, some beginners, they may need some help, because some of the terms are difficult to follow if one is not trained in that. For instance, there are terms like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, marginal energy, three modes of material nature, conditioned soul. These are all technical terms, and to understand them we need some help. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he was first of all preparing these books, first of all in India, but then his book production and actually everything about his preaching really expanded a lot after he went to America. So the first disciples of his in America, they heard all these terms, the three modes of material nature and so on, regularly from Srila Prabhupada, and they therefore they could understand them. But even people who get these books and they don't have any association with devotees, even they can become very good devotees, even though they may not understand all the concepts very well, because some of them are somewhat technical. But still, the basic message comes through that we have to surrender to Krishna. So by distributing these books, we do the greatest welfare work to human society. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma shatar kari karo para upaka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that everyone who is born as a human in the land of Bharatavarsha is very fortunate, and they should make their life successful and make others' lives successful. In other words, they should share this Krishna consciousness with others, and the best way to do so is via Srila Prabhupada's books. As Srila Prabhupada said to one disciple of his who was a renowned public speaker, he was very good at giving lectures. Srila Prabhupada said, "What good will your 3-minute lecture give? But if you give them a book, they can take it home, they can read it, they can digest it." So Srila Prabhupada gave more value to the distribution of his books than to the speaking of even one of the best speakers among his disciples. Because actually these books are Srila Prabhupada writing or speaking, and as he said, it's actually Krishna dictating. Just as Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, so he spoke it to Srila Prabhupada also, the purports. And Srila Prabhupada recorded them in writing. And we can avail of this. The whole human society can be uplifted by this. But first of all, they'll have to get the books. Otherwise, how are they going to read them if they don't get them? So devotees, they make so much effort to get these books to others. And in this way, they, although they're getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, no doubt. To be in this movement at all, one has to have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But they get it greatly by distributing these books. All services are important, there's no doubt. But the one that Srila Prabhupada stressed over and over and over again he very much wanted this distribution of his books, because this can bring about a revolution. When more and more people, they start to understand this and think about this, then they have to accept that this is correct. Even the talk of Krishna with cowherd boy, that may be difficult for many people to accept, but that there is reincarnation is, that's the beginning of spiritual knowledge, that's described here in detail in Bhagavad Gita. But that's an actual fact. It's not something to be speculated about or imagined. It is a fact. If we are to accept modern scientific inquiry, at the level they conduct inquiry into the movements of the stars and the planets, it's all very theoretical. But still they're confident enough to say, it's like this, it's like that. So for those who are not fully self-realized, that we change one body from another to another to another, this fact, if we speak it to others, the devotee who speaks it may not be fully realized about that, but still it's true. And so by stating it, people get benefit. And in fact, by giving this knowledge, the devotee also becomes benefited. He takes that mercy of Srila Prabhupada, which Srila Prabhupada wants to give, and he takes the mercy, means hears the instructions, practices them in his life, and hears regularly about Krishna, topics of Krishna, and in this way becomes purified, so he can explain better, he can distribute books more, and so on. So this is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. This is an increasing of the ocean of transcendental bliss. And actually, it's a fact, devotees, they do become very blissful when they distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. It's not like some mundane book selling. You can... I don't know about now, but it used to be the Russians would pass out their magazines. They used to make propaganda magazines. I don't know if you saw in Calcutta, it was quite common. That was a center of communism. And very glossy magazines, and they would give them away free, and no one wanted to take them, because then it's Russian propaganda about communism, and they weren't very interested. So they had an idea to distribute. And Srila Prabhupada, he said that, you see, the communists have become successful by distributing their literature. So we can also become successful by distributing this literature, because people will find out, those who are thoughtful, they will read and understand that, yes, the knowledge in this book, this is not like any other kind of knowledge that we've come across before. This should be distributed widely to everyone. So we benefit by distributing these books. We get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And actually we have to pray to him for the mercy to be able to do that. If we think, I am distributing this book, or I am building this temple, I am doing this, I am doing that. If we think like that, then Krishna withdraws his mercy, and at least temporarily. And there are many instances of devotees distributing books, and they're thinking, oh, it's going very nicely today, so many people are taking books, I guess it's because I'm so great. And then as soon as they think that, book distribution stops. No one will take a book. So it's actually Krishna who's distributing. Seeing the sincerity of the devotee in wanting to benefit the poor materialist who has no affinity for this subject, or if they have some affinity, they may have some affinity, but still they're so much entangled in material life and material desires. So Krishna, he may send some special mercy by which that devotee will surrender unto him. There's a famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Krishna. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe taddhanam shanai. Tato dhanam tyajyantyasya svajana dukha dukitam. Says Krishna tells Yudhishthira Maharaj that the first installment of my mercy is that I withdraw people's wealth, I take it away. And people generally think, if I get the mercy of God, then I'll get plenty of money. That's why people go to Balaji in Tirupati. It's like a contract. You offer to give so much and you'll get so much back. So it's a well-calculated business calculation. But the ones who Krishna really favors, he takes away their material attachments, so they have nothing but him. Only he to pray to. So that may or may not happen. That doesn't happen in every case. Mostly people in this Kali Yuga, they hardly have anything to be taken away anyway. People are living, they're just struggling to make ends meet. But Krishna, he gives himself, and his self is much sweeter than any amount of money. Money is the honey, as they say. But sweeter than the honey of money, which is people who like money, they're very interested in that. But that turns into distress, inevitably. Either one loses all one's money by someone steals it, or the government takes it away. Just got the news yesterday that in Kenya, the government, for not the first time, just took over a bank and just took all the money. And the people with the money in the bank, they said, sorry, now we got all the money. We decided that we need it more than you. So they're trying to play Krishna by taking away all the money, but they don't give love of Krishna in return. They take away all people's all money, they're supposed to come non-attached, and then the family members reject them. That may or may not happen in every case. Anyway, the point is that Krishna is our real well-wisher. Therefore, he gives this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and other shastras. As stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that people, they don't know about this. Lokasya janata vidvāṁs chakre sādvata saṅhitam. How does that verse begin? Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga. I'm just forgetting the first. Krishne Paramapurushe. No, I'm forgetting the first two lines of the verse. But people, they don't know that they can be free. Anartho pashamang sakshat bhagavat bhakti yogata. Lokasya janato vid bhakti yogamad hokshate. Lokasya janato vidvangs chakre sattvata sanghitam. People can get free from all material miseries simply by bhakti yoga to Krishna. But people don't know this. So Krishna, he very kindly made these literature, the especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there's a Bengali versification of this. Svata Krishna Gyan. Jibere Kripa Koile Krishna Ved Puran. The people, they don't know about Krishna. So Krishna gave them the Vedas and the Puranas. So Srila Prabhupada has given all the essence of this knowledge in these books. And presented in very, very simply, straightforwardly, so everyone can understand. So this is the important program. All programs are important. But especially Srila Prabhupada recommended this. And we become happy by distributing the books. That is how the spiritual energy works. That people become happy by getting the books. We become happy by giving it to them. How is that happiness comes? Because Krishna is all happiness. Krishna becomes pleased with us. How does Krishna become pleased with us? Well, Srila Prabhupada becomes pleased. Krishna wants this knowledge distributed. Therefore, he sent Srila Prabhupada to this world. Srila Prabhupada worked very hard to establish this preaching movement and to write these books. We say that Krishna wrote the books, but Srila Prabhupada had to put a lot of effort into it also, sitting up all night, dictating the books and thinking of the exact words to put. Krishna gave the inspiration with the exact words to put. Srila Prabhupada, he said it takes great concentration to do this. So Srila Prabhupada worked very hard, almost literally up to his last breath. You can see the video footage of Srila Prabhupada lying on his bed in Vrindavan with hardly any strength to speak even. This was shortly before Srila Prabhupada left this world. Of course, he is full of all transcendental energy and strength. But he enacted this pastime of being sick so that his disciples could take care of him, so that he can show all of us who have to pass through such a phase of life that how we can remain Krishna conscious even with the body completely wrecked. So in that condition where Srila Prabhupada is lying on the bed, and devotees are holding the microphone just at his mouth, and he is dictating his Bhaktivedanta purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter. Srila Prabhupada, he was so eager to give this knowledge, he went through so many difficulties. And we may also have to go through difficulties to distribute these books. Maybe not as many difficulties as devotees in the early days of ISKCON went through, but certainly, just living in Vellore can be difficult because of the heat here. It's one of the hottest places in India, intense heat. And of course, not everyone's going to welcome us. Many people won't welcome us. That's, you know, Dvobhuta Sarge Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evacha. There are two kinds of these people in this world. Some are godly and some are just the opposite. So many people, they're not interested in these books, or they snub us or turn us away, or they may call us bad names. But anyway, we'll give these books to the people who are pious enough to appreciate them. But we will have to preach about the books so that they will appreciate them. Otherwise, if you just say, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam said 5,000 rupees, pay up, they're not going to do it. You have to preach and be enthusiastic. And your enthusiasm will come from reading these books. Then you'll want to communicate it to others when you think that, oh, how sublime is this knowledge, which is, it's helping me so much. And then we want to share that with others, because a good person wants to help others. It's like Kaliamurti Prabhu, he came to this movement by reading these books. He was inspired. He thought, this is correct, this is right, this is what I have to do. I have to live my life now in Krishna consciousness. Then he wants to distribute that to others. He's so enthusiastic to go out. So actually you may not even need to go out. The time may come where you can just sit here and so many people will come, you can sell them books. A lot of book distribution in India today is just done from the temples. Of course, you still have to preach to them. Because generally in all our temples, the prasadam stall has more sales than the bookstall. People think, well, this is spiritual, that's spiritual. I like that spiritual more than this spiritual. This tastes nice, and this one tells me to give up all sense gratification. So it will require our preaching also. Actually, we could say that you don't have to wait for the temple to open. All day, every day, people are coming here, isn't it? People are coming. So we should have a bookstall outside here. For those who can't go out, we have some old men, retired men. They can sit. People come, then many people, they come, they just come, they look, they go. But you can greet them, give them some water, a little prasadam, tell them to take the books, get their contact, and then in future we can invite them to programs, go with them to give them Bhagavatam sets, maybe if they take some donation for building the temple. People who come here, it's quite some effort to come here. Presumably in future it'll be less effort, there'll be more infrastructure, bus services and this and that, but now to come here it takes quite some effort. So people, they must have some bhakti or some inclination to come here. So they're special people, anyone who comes. Actually, all people are special. We should think like that. Everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. But those who come here, we can have someone can be here to greet them nicely. Most temples you go to, no one greets you nicely. You go to any temple, maybe Vishnu temple or Shiva temple or Ayappa temple or Sai Baba temple, but just people go in and they take darshan. If there's a priest there, he'll say, what is your gotra and all this kind of thing, and then do some puja, and then it's like a factory. They come in and they go, and then they chant the mantras and go away. But we can greet people very nicely, like I say, give them prasadam. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that He wrote a letter at one point and said that every visitor to our temple should get hot puris, sabji, and halava prasadam. I don't think any of our temples do that up to the present day. But when these temples are established, we can at least give prasadam, full prasad. And it just says in Tirupati, there's that system there. In many temples, people get, whoever comes, they can get prasadam, so we should do that. But even now, we can give some sweet and give them the books. People generally come for darshan, give them books, this Bhagavad Darshan magazine. And ourselves, we have to read the books, because then they will start to read the books. And then they will ask us questions, and they may say something like, well, why did Puruvara do this? And you say, who? You don't know. You have to read. They'll be ahead of you. So you have to know there are so many personalities in the Bhagavatam. There may be some controversial points people, they get upset at. I know. I remember once in Malaysia, I was there, and one man got upset because in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that Sati was lucky that Lord Shiva didn't sell all her jewels so to buy ganja. It's a joke. It's taking a pot shot at so-called devotees of Lord Shiva who smoke ganja. Lord Shiva doesn't smoke ganja, but they say he does, so we shall do. So someone got upset. Why are you saying Lord Shiva, he wouldn't do that? Hey, clearly it's a joke, but that has to be explained. There was once a lot of controversy when in Bhagavad Darshan magazine, the quotation was given from one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had called Vallabha Bhatta. Well, he hadn't called him that, but he likened him to a prostitute. There was some incident, and the members of that Vallabh Sampradaya, they became extremely angry on seeing this. Although, prior to that, they'd been very favorable to us. So Srila, in one letter, Srila Prabhupada explained the whole situation, but we also have to be prepared to defend Srila Prabhupada's very strong statements on the basis of our own understanding of them. So we have to read these books, and by reading these books we'll become more enthusiastic to distribute them. As we become more enthusiastic to distribute them, more people become enthusiastic to read them. And then they'll also want to distribute the books, and in this way the Krishna consciousness movement will increase. As in one very famous statement of Srila Prabhupada's, when he arrived in Los Angeles, the temple was completely packed. Many of his disciples had come from all over America and other countries. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking and sitting on his Vyasasan. And he said that we are receiving knowledge in disciplic succession. He made this point. It's not just Prabhupada's imagination. It's authorized knowledge coming in disciplic succession. And he said that, talking about his books, he said that the more you distribute these books, the more this Krishna conscious movement, it will grow automatically. So please help me, Srila Prabhupada said. Please help me. Distribute these books. So many devotees were present there. They took that as their life's mission, heart and soul. And there are some disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are going on distributing books. Now they're over 60 years. They've been doing it for more than 40 years. Going out every day. Bhrigupati Prabhu comes to mind. He's based in Los Angeles. Every day he goes out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. There are others also. Nidra Mataji in Denver. Vijay, he's not Prabhupada's disciple directly, but he's been distributing books for so many years. There are others who want to do, but their body doesn't allow them to do because they've become so old, so they can't go out anymore. But the great advantage of having these temples is that when you become too old to distribute books, you can sit in the temple and distribute books. So that we can start to do right away. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this, please? There's another book distributor, Lila Purushottam, and he likes to distribute books. When he was here as a brahmachari, he was going out every day distributing, and now as a householder, he's also distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and maintaining his family like that. Yes, please.
Maharaj, this Urdu Bhagavad Gita, can we distribute to Muslim hardcore terrorists?
Can we distribute Bhagavad Gita to hardcore Muslim terrorists? How many hardcore Muslim terrorists do you know? Oh, in the jail. There are some. Oh, yeah. Right, there are some in Vellore jail. Yeah, you can do.
Somebody is favorable, but somebody, they are not favorable. They can be distributed.
Well, if you distribute books to people who are offensive, they might destroy the book. That's also a consideration. There should be some respect. Once in London, at that time, the fifth canto of Bhagavatam had just come out. It was in two volumes at that time. And in there are some fantastic things. Well, what to our vision seems to be fantastic. Like, just like the Ganges River comes down from the heavenly planets being carried. Once in London, we were distributing these books, and in our temple, one copy came through the post box. Someone had gone through the pages, torn some of them, scribbled on some, and they put it, that was their comment. So, better to give them some small book, first of all, and then see. Do they come to your program or respond in any way? Or they're in solitary confinement or what?
One Muslim boy used to come.
There were three or four who were arrested. Who were Muslim, there for some assassination case or something. Oh, they killed BJP leaders. They killed Hindu political leaders. Now they're in Vellore. They're Hindu converts to Islam. Yeah? You can try giving them a small book and then ask after some time what they think. Do you have access to them, or you have to give something through the jail warder?
No. Through the devotees who are coming to the program.
I see. Yeah, you can try. No harm.
Maharaj, you told that Murugan is one of the conspirators of the Rajiv Gandhi killing. You told me to ask him to chant 16 rounds. For 2 years, he is chanting more than 20-30 rounds daily. So he has become a good devotee. Now he was supposed to be condemned. Was supposed to be hanged. Then he made another petition to the Supreme Court. Then his condemnation was cancelled, and now he is on life imprisonment. The sentences they have reduced because of his chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna appeals. So that I want to tell.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, he got real life by chanting Hare Krishna. He was supposed to be executed, but he's. Sentence was, what's the word? Reduced, there's some other word. Commuted. He said commuted to life imprisonment. So let him chant, he let him go on chanting. Actually, in many cases, these assassination cases, the people who do the assassination, they're wrong, but it's the people who incite them to do it. They're the worst. They never go for they don't go for assassination cases. They just catch some young people and mislead them. They're the ones who should be hanged more. Yeah, you had a question? How soon can we take them out for book distribution after coming newly to Krishna consciousness? We can take them out practically from the beginning, and depending on their maturity, they may also engage in that, having seen how to do it from, or at least they can assist. If we Harinam, going out on Harinam Sankirtan is also very important. And it's very, very good for book distribution also, if the two go on simultaneously. Not only in India, in other places also. So they can at least see that and be around that. And gradually we have to see their maturity. When I joined, that was the Bhakta program. You go out and distribute books. We didn't even know what was in the books. But generally nowadays we think that let people first understand something. Srila Prabhupada told Garga Muni, I heard this years and years ago and didn't get it confirmed. I guess I could ask him before he passes away. I was going to go and see his brother Brahmananda, and then Brahmananda passed away. And that Prabhupada said to Garga Muni that you train men for 6 months, then you send them out to preach. But it is quite an art which one, and to distribute books, and we become afraid to send people out for distributing books because they may become frustrated if people don't take the book, and they may become angry, and that then in future the people won't take the book. If you don't become angry, if people don't take the book, at least you can give them a leaflet and speak to them nicely, and then you can say to them, well, maybe next time. And that gives them an excuse. Oh, okay, maybe next time. If you've given up with a person not going to take a book, you say, okay, maybe next time. Then next time they may think, oh, last time I said maybe next time. Like that. Recently it was reported one man in London, he'd seen the devotees distributing for 25 years. He was determined never to take a book. But a devotee gave him a book after 25. He told the devotees, look, I've been watching you for 25 years. I never took a book, and I'm not going to take a book. But somehow that devotee got him to take 2 books. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada's book distribution ki jai!